Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
One of the great things about large events like the Hillsong Conference is that you find world-class talent all in the one place. And that was certainly the case for this year's Hillsong Conference. We were able to round up three Dove Award-winning singer-songwriters, sit them all down in the one little den there in Sydney's Acer Arena, and have them share about the business of crafting songs that reach people the world over. Those three artists were Texas girl Kerry Jobe, whose song I'm Singing is getting a lot of airplay right now, prolific writer and Hillsong worship pastor Reuben Morgan, and producer-songwriter Jason Ingram, who's written for artists like Rebecca St. James and Bebo Norman. He's also co-written songs on the latest Hillsong album, A Beautiful Exchange. It was a wonderful conversation, lots and lots to learn from, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. We began the conversation with Kerry Jobe describing the moment she realised she had been born to write music.
I think maybe one of the first times that I heard a congregation singing a song that I wrote, because I didn't picture myself as being that kind of songwriter. I just thought, I love writing songs, I love worshiping the Lord. And then my church was like, hey, we want to start doing these songs in our local church. And I was like, really? You know, and then like my first Sunday of hearing them sing it back, I just thought, God, how amazing. Just my private life, you know, God began to do something in the public place, and it was pretty gnarly.
Reuben, it could be a starting moment or a kind of a foundational moment like that. It could be when you were writing a song, but a defining moment for you?
Yeah, I would definitely say it's something that I've stumbled into along the way, you know. I don't think I ever imagined that I would be somebody that wrote worship songs and sort of, you know, has had that kind of become, you know, one of my main things. I never imagined that.
What did you originally think you'd be doing?
I used to think I was going to be Bruce Springsteen. And I just love Christmas. And then I thought I was going to be Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits. But then, I studied guitar and, you know, after I finished school and studied jazz and composition. And so, I mean, I thought, you know, I would do music, but I never imagined it would be in worship. And similar to Carrie, just I started trying to write songs for church, worship songs. And I just brought one of those to, you know, I was involved with our youth ministry and, you know, playing guitar and whatever, and I just brought one, you know, what do you think about this? Do you think it could work? And kind of we did it that night, you know, it was a Friday night at youth, and that was definitely a defining moment. I was shocked at the response, and church started singing it, and it just...
What song was that?
Lord, I Give You My Heart. Really, my life changed, you know, and then I just sort of wondered if I could do that again, and I still wonder.
Keeps you trying every day, doesn't it? Jason Ingram, defining moment for you.
Yeah, I like Reuben, it's funny that defining moment when you know you want to be a songwriter, you know you are a songwriter, like I still wonder too. I'm still sort of in awe of the process of nothing and then a song. And I don't know how to do that at all. But for me, it was church as well. I started... on a piano growing up, and I always was noodling with my own ideas and melodies and words, and church really gave me a platform at a young age to see those move people.
There's something the actual creative offering is shared with others and you get that response back, and particularly in a Christian context, when you're talking about worship, it's not just simply, oh, I love that piece of art you've done. It's actually fired something up in somebody to lift their voice.
I see a lot of young artists really... struggle with the mentality that like we're expressing ourselves in a way that like is gratifying to me, and I just think it could be very self-serving. Like the arts and creativity and songs, I think the sooner you learn that they're far better off when they're shared and they're for other people. I work with a lot of young artists that are developing, making their first record and their second record, and you always kind of see that first one. They've got to prove their agenda, and then usually that doesn't work so well. And then they bring the same passion, the same creativity, and the same gifts to the second record, but it's like, I want to be about people. And it's just so much more beautiful.
Well, I'm interested in that, actually. Wrong moves or steps that, in hindsight now, you wouldn't actually take. Have you had moments like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're writing for church, I mean, this is kind of all I know, really, but, you know, when you're writing for... congregation, people you know, there is an honesty about that, you know, and I think there's a, I mean, it's not the only kind of song to write, but I think when you're writing that way, it is grounding, you know, because you, they're people that we do life with, they're the people that we know, they're...
Keep you accountable.
Well, yeah, and we've seen the seasons. We know the people that, you know, are struggling in areas, and we know the people that, you know, maybe lost a loved one or, you know, going through some kind of sickness or going through really great moments in their life. And those songs have to work for them. They're for them, you know, and they have to be their prayers, their expression of their lives, you know, in a context of faith. And to me, that's what it's about.
This is Open House, right across the nation. We're catching up with Kerry Jobe, Jason Ingram, Reuben Morgan, all singer-songwriters, all worship leaders, and we're just working out how do they do their craft. Lead me through your craft, Kerry, how you actually do what you do. Do you have a kind of a set routine as to the way you actually go about your songwriting, guitar in the lap, notebook out, you're out in nature or whatever, what do you do?
Yeah, all of the above. On top of a mountain. For me, it's in my journal time, you know, my time of just reflecting on God. And if I'm not having that time, it's really, I'm not writing. It's not, I don't have like a formula or, you know, it just kind of happens sometimes. And sometimes it's at the guitar, sometimes it's at the piano, sometimes it's just with a voice memo recorder. And it's just like singing a melody and not even trying to put the music to it yet. Or you can't put any kind of a formula to it.
What about for you, Jason? I mean, is there some sort of process you go through? Do you have a particular day and a particular thing you do when you start out your creative day?
I definitely don't have a particular process, but and it is, it's one of those things that I, like I said before, like I'm still completely in awe of the mystery of
how it happens.
Of how a song can come about. I know, like, if the three of us were to walk next door to try to write a song, I know we'd write a really good song. But I have no idea how that would happen. And even though I say that in confidence, I still would be walking over there going, oh, man, we're probably not going to get anything. You know? I mean, that's my point is the reason I said that from the beginning is because as much as it's a mystery, if we don't walk over there to try to write a song, we're not going to have one. Mm. Behind the mystery is still discipline. It has to be on the calendar. If you're a songwriter and you want to write songs and I open up your calendar and I don't see the days you're writing songs, you're probably not going to be writing songs. Mm-hmm. When I don't have anything, one thing that is a tool for me really is just sort of like changing colors, changing, like if a guitar is not landing anything for me, then sit on a piano. If the piano's not landing anything for me, then turn it onto an organ sound. And if that's not landing anything for me, then pull a beat up. It's like a painter, you know, it's just like, just keep, if that color isn't giving you a moment of inspiration. Mm-hmm. And so practically, it's got to be on the calendar. Give yourself tools.
I need to set out to write. I need to know that I'm right now I'm going to go write a song. And I've got to focus my time that way. I've got to, it seems like the better you kind of, the more I write, the more other things that are kind of added to that. You know, mm-hmm. there's always great opportunity, places to go. There's always, you know, important meetings to be in. There's always stuff. But for me, I've just had to work out along the way and just keep deciding what's the main thing here. And it's an aggressive decision to kind of create space and mm-hmm. time.
Collaboration then. I mean, you've all collaborated on projects and with other singer-songwriters. How does the co-writing relationship build?
Songwriting is such like a vulnerable type of situation because you're in essence saying, this is my creative mind. And you might think it's really dumb, or you might not think it's creative at all, or, you know. When I've written with Tomlin, he, like, changed my perspective with all of that, because one of the times that we wrote, he said, I'm going to dare to suck. And I don't know if that's a bad word in Australia,
we'll
but...
We'll allow it through.
Okay,
we'll
good.
Get deep this time.
But he was like, I'm going to dare to make a bad choice here, or dare to, for you to just throw this out. And I thought, I want to take that for me as well, because you have to put yourself out there when you write with people and just go for it and just say, here's my idea, we can take it, we can leave it. But you can't go in with like insecurities. You just have to go in and say, man, this is the burden on my heart. Here's a melody line I have an idea with, or, you know, and just go for it. And mm-hmm. honestly, everyone's kind of on the same page as far as just wanting to bring something to the table that we could collaborate on. And just, I end up finding that some of my stronger songs are collaboration songs. Yes. Because you bring your burden to the table, someone else brings their burden to the table, and it just changes their either the perspective that you're going to write with. The lyrics are stronger, you know, you get outside the box of what you usually kind of have a tendency to write about. So it's a powerful tool.
As I mentioned before, we're actually recording this during Hillsong Conference, and Reuben Morgan has to run off to go to a rehearsal. Can you throw in something, though, about the whole collaboration process and just how it works and what's the best way to make it work?
I know from my experience, I used to write a lot of songs on my own, and it was kind of a real devotional thing for me, and it still is, you know, a real kind of, you know, this is my time, and, you know, I'm writing on my own. And I used to write a lot of all of my songs, actually, on my own. And I did get to a point where I felt like I was in a bit of a rut. And so I changed a whole lot of things up in my life, heaps of things. And one of them was I started co-writing. And because I'd been in other co-writing situations where it felt awkward, you know, I started writing with one of my good friends, Ben Fielding. And we took ages to work it out, you know, how we write and stuff. And weeks, you know, of really working at it and... trying different things and talking about it and, you know, trying different songs or whatever. But I was determined, you know, that we were gonna write really great songs, you know, because he's my friend. I was able to kind of work a lot of stuff through about, you know, my preferences and whatever, and you know, we were able to make it work. And I'm really proud of the songs that I've written with Ben. There's something about the personalities and the, you know, the different backgrounds and the different gifting, that kind of chemistry, it creates something entirely different to what you would ever do, you know, on your own or with somebody else.
Well, thank you for giving us that before you run off to head off for a rehearsal.
Thanks.
We'll let you go, and I want to keep on going with these guys.
We'll start talking about Reuben now. We're going to start talking about Morgan. Let me tell you what it's like to write
Word.
A song.
Yeah. All right, well, we're now Reuben Morgan Less, Jason Ingram, just on that notion of collaboration. Are there any things, though, that you can give in terms of tips to help singer-songwriters listening to make some sort of collaboration work?
Yeah. You know, on a practical level, if there's somebody watching that wants to get into songwriting and they're really good at lyrics, well, you probably need somebody who plays an instrument or is good at melody, you know?
That's good.
There's sort of a lot of different...
Pair strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, pair strengths and weaknesses. And so that's kind of potentially obvious, but potentially not, you know?
The sum of the parts is greater than the whole, really, isn't it?
Yeah. For sure.
Two come together like that.
For sure.
Yeah. Let's end up with spiritual disciplines and the role that they actually play in the creative process for both of you. Prayer, obviously we've talked about collaboration and the value of community, which itself is a spiritual discipline, other things. Where does the whole area of spirituality intersect with your songwriting?
For me, it's everything. I write with writers that have no interest in God, and they're still some amazing songwriters. So I think God puts creativity in everybody. Mm. He created all of humanity in his image, and so all of humanity has touches of creativity that just should point our eyes to a creator, you know. But writing songs for church and writing songs about God that you hope, like, bring something to people that's greater than just a catchy lyric. I mean, I just think all the same disciplines that like make pursuing God like even work, you know. For me, prayer, most songs are sort of prayers for me. Like, I mean, if you want to kind of know my heart and know the things that I struggle with and know the things I'm passionate about, just listen to my songs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, reading is big, but also like going outside and looking at the sky, go to a movie, walk around and look at people's faces, like really look at their faces, because there's people. And that's who we want her songs to connect with.
Yes.
If you're writing songs for church, I feel like that's the one song I can't define. I've written some in the pop market in America and some in the country market, a lot in the Christian market, radio kind of stuff. And all those I can kind of get my head around on some level how to do that. This song that when you sing it at church and people take over, I don't know how to write that song. I don't know that song when I hear it. I only know it when I hear it in the voice of the church. Just because, to me, I've heard so many of my songs on radio. don't downplay that at all. Like, I feel so blessed by that. But I was just like, God, the song I really want to hear is the song that the church sings. Mm-hmm. And about a year and a half ago, I really struggled as a songwriter to just go, I don't want to keep writing songs just so that there's more noise across the airwaves. Wow. I want to write songs that your church wants to worship you with. Mm. And I never had one of those. I'd written plenty that sounded right, but you put them in the mouth of the church and it's just like they don't have that thing. They don't have that anointing. They don't have the breath of God on them that just like your heart just opens up when you sing it. And so I just started praying. I started praying every day that like, God, use me however you want. But if you want to give me the delight in my heart, it's not in Dove Awards. It's not in radio play. It's not in Grammys. It's like, let me hear your church sing something that you would give to me. Mm. And, shortly after that, Reuben Morgan happened to be in my writing room, and I don't know how that happened, but we wrote a song called Forever Rain, which hopefully everybody will buy, Beautiful Exchange, the new Hillsong album. I had never heard the church sing a song of mine. He starts texting me, and is like, man, you should hear like what's happening with this song at church. And I'm like, can you send me something? And he sent me a little board mix of just what was happening at church. And for me, it was just the abundance of God. Like, God's just grace in my life. Here I've written all these songs for radio. I'm just feeling like, God, like, I don't want to do that. I want to write songs for your church. I want to write songs for the bride to, like, worship you with. And I didn't have that. And then the first time I ever got to hear a church sing one of my songs, it was Hillsong Church. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it was just like the abundance of God. And it was just above, like, I cried like a baby.
Yeah.
And I've been crying like a baby this week, man. I just can't, like, just the sound of people worshiping. And so pray, you know, ask God for those songs. Yeah. He's ultimately the one who's got to give them to you.
Beautiful story.
I know, I'm undone right here.
That's a hard story to
Thank
beat.
Thank you, Jason. That's
amazing. Beautiful story.
I don't even remember the question.
Role of prayer and spiritual disciplines in the writing process.
You know, just for me personally, I don't know anything different but writing for my heart out to God. That's just what all I've ever known. And that's all that it ever started out as. And so it started in my closet when I was like around the age of 13, and I got a guitar and I would just sit in my closet and I just wanted to pour my heart out to God, because I had experienced God at church and I knew that there was something about worshiping God that I didn't find that sound in music on the radio. Mm. Or that sound at church is what I wanted in my life. And so I just was in pursuit of that just in my personal life. And so that's really all I've ever wanted is that I could just pour out my heart to God. And kind of from the beginning of the interview here, you ask, what was that defining moment? When people started singing that at church, I was just floored that something that came from me just spending time with God would become a heart cry or a sound out of people's mouths to God. It just, like, undid me. I just was like, God, this is your kingdom here. This life is about, that we could help people to say something to God that they don't always just say. Yeah. You know, so that's really just always been a desire of my heart and a cry of my heart, and I haven't even gotten there yet. Even in my personal life, because there's so much I want to say to God, and we won't ever really be able to say everything that we could say. That's why heaven says that there's a continual song going on, that God, you're holy, you're worthy of our worship, and that's what they always are singing. We're going to join that song one day. It will never end, because there's never going to be enough that we can say to God. And so that's pretty much the pursuit of our hearts forever.
I think that's a perfect place to finish up. Thank you so much, Kerry Jove and Jason Ingram. Great talking to you.
Same.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.